May 17, 1904. Heathen Plots. Number 1. Ellen G. White. Sanballat, Tobiah, and their confederates dared not openly make war upon the Jews, but with increasing malice they continued their secret efforts to perplex, injure, and discourage them. The wall about Jerusalem was rapidly approaching completion. When it should be finished and its gates set up, these enemies of Israel could not hope to force an entrance into the city. Therefore, they were the more eager and determined in their efforts to stop the work without delay. At last they devised a plan to draw Nehemiah from his station and kill or imprison him while they had him in their power. Pretending to desire a compromise of the opposing parties, they proposed a conference with Nehemiah and invited him to meet them in a village on the plain of Ono. But the Spirit of God, enlightening the mind of his servant, enabled him to discern their real purpose. Nehemiah says, "I sent messengers unto them, saying, I am doing a great work, so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease, whilst I leave it and come down to you?" But these emissaries of Satan were persistent. 4 times they sent messages of like import, but received the same answer. Finding this plan unsuccessful, they then had resort to a more dangerous stratagem. Sanballat sent to Nehemiah a messenger bearing an open letter wherein was written, "It is reported among the heathen, and Gashmu saith it, that thou and the Jews think to rebel, for which cause thou buildest the wall, that thou mayest be their king, according to these words. And thou hast also appointed prophets to preach of thee at Jerusalem, saying, There is a king in Judah, and now shall it be reported to the king according to these words. Come now, therefore, and let us take counsel together." Had the reports mentioned been actually circulated, there would have been cause for apprehension, for they would soon have been carried to the ears of the king, whom a slight suspicion might provoke to the severest measures. But Nehemiah was convinced that the letter was wholly false, written to arouse his fears and draw him into some snare prepared by his enemies. This conclusion was strengthened by the fact that the letter was sent open, evidently that the contents might be read by the people and thus intimidate them also. He therefore promptly returned the answer, "There are no such things done as thou sayest, but thou feignest them out of thine own heart." He is not ignorant of Satan's devices, and he feels assured that all these attempts are made for the purpose of weakening the hands of the builders, that their work may not be accomplished. He turns to the source of strength with the prayer, "Now therefore, O God, strengthen my hands." Satan had been defeated again and again, and now, with deeper malice and greater cunning, he proceeded to devise a still more subtle and dangerous snare for the servant of God. Sanballat and his companions were moved to hire men professing to be friends of Nehemiah to give him evil counsel as the word of the Lord. The principal person engaged in this nefarious work was one Shemaiah, who had previously been held in good repute by Nehemiah. This man shut himself up in a chamber near the sanctuary, as if fearing that his life was in danger, and thither Nehemiah went to consult with him as one who was especially favored of God. The temple was at this time protected by walls and gates, while the gates of the city were not yet set up. This deceiver, therefore, professed great concern for Nehemiah's safety, and counseled him to seek shelter in the temple. "Let us meet together in the house of God, within the temple, and let us shut the doors of the temple, for they will come to slay thee. Yea, in the night will they come to slay thee." The hero's fearless answer was, "Should such a man as I flee? And who is there that, being as I am, would go into the temple to save his life? I will not go in." Had Nehemiah followed that treacherous counsel, he would have sacrificed his reputation for courage and faith in God, and would have appeared cowardly and contemptible. The alarm would have spread among the people. Each would have sought his own safety, and the city would have been left unprotected to fall a prey to their enemies. That one unwise move would have been a virtual surrender of all that had been gained. Nehemiah was not long in penetrating the true character and object of his counselor. And lo, I perceived that God had not sent him, but that he pronounced this prophecy against me, for Tobiah and Sanballat had hired him. Therefore was he hired, that I should be afraid, and do so, and sin, and that they might have matter for an evil report, that they might reproach me. In view of the important work that Nehemiah had undertaken, together with the integrity of his character, and the confidence in God which he professed to feel, it would be highly inconsistent for him to hide himself as if in fear. The preservation of life itself would not be a sufficient excuse for such a course. The infamous counsel given him was seconded by more than one man of high reputation, who, while professing to be his friend, was secretly in league with his enemies. Women also, while pretending to have received great light from God, basely sold themselves to serve the cause of the heathen. Nehemiah prays that God will mark their evil designs and reward them according to their deeds. Mrs. E. G. White.